Been in a series, The Simple Gospel. The first week we talked about the way and the truth, and last week the wheat and the tares. And today we're going to get into the war and the temptations that we all face on a daily basis. The Lord gave me goals for each week of this Simple Gospel series. The first week it was to present the truth in a clear way. The second week it was to make certain that you have authentic faith. I wanted you to be certain that you knew Jesus and that you were born again. This week, I present to you a crisis that we are all in the middle of. I'm also going to present to you a solution to this crisis. The game has been fixed. The outcome is sure. All that the enemy can do is distract us from the mission that God has us on. And mighty is He to the pulling down of strongholds. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe in the weapons of spiritual warfare. But I also believe that we give the enemy too much credit, credit that he doesn't deserve, because he is a defeated foe. He is already lost. And when that final trumpet sounds, he'll know it. He'll know it. That not only is he no longer prince of this air, that he was a failure from the beginning. And he'll live in eternal damnation. So no matter what you're going through this morning, whatever you've been through, you may feel like you're losing. But if you stay in the fight and you stay in the field, you're not losing, you're winning. All you have to do is stay on the path that God has you on. You may be bloody, you may be weak, you may want to quit, you may feel like the deck is stacked against you, but if you just won't quit, you're going to be victorious. So if you hear nothing, I say, yeah, go ahead and give God some praise. Understand that you have the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. Paul was writing to a very divided church. They questioned his authority. They had a spirit of harlotry or adultery over this church. They didn't know how to operate in their gifting. And Paul addresses them. And this is what he says. And I believe this is still relevant to us today. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh," everybody say, "I'm in the flesh," "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So how do we deal with attacks? How do we deal with accusations? How do we deal with bad attitudes? Paul addresses that. He's dealing with rebellious Jews that won't submit to his authority, but he releases this revelation so that all Christians would know how to fight when it's time to fight. I appreciate the compassion we have in our current culture, and I appreciate that we pay close attention to children that may be getting bullied, and we're more careful with our words and all of those things. But let me tell you this, friend. The only way to deal with a bully, I don't care if it's 1965 or 2019, is to ball up your fist and hit them right in the center of their nose till their eyes water. And the only way to deal with an enemy is to quit feeling sorry for yourself and to get your mind right and go after him. Something's been stolen from you. Something's been taken from you. You've lost someone. Make the devil pay for what he took from you. Make him pay. I lost my friend of an accidental overdose, and for 20 years I've been making the devil pay.
make him pay. When God calls you, when he saves you, when he fills you, he gives you armor to take the fight to the enemy. So my first point to you this morning is that we are in a war. When you got saved, when you made sure of your salvation, when you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you weren't promised rainbows and candles and roses. You entered into a battle. You entered into a war. You were given your marching orders. And you must learn how to fight to the finish. Life isn't fair. Bad things happen to good people. But there are principles that we can walk in that will keep the enemy turned back and pushed back. And I want to give you these principles today so that you will not live beneath your privilege, so you'll know who you are in Christ, so you'll know that no weapon formed against you can prosper, so you'll know that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You need these principles. At some point, one must get tired of getting bullied. At some point, one must get tired of the smell of the pig pen. At some point, you have to get tired of the same old stories and the same old circles and the same old smells, and you've got to do like the prodigal did, and you've got to come to yourself. And when you come to yourself, who you originally created to be, it will force you to take action and to turn back and make things right. What does the word warfare mean? It is a campaign, an orchestrated attack that is bigger than you could ever imagine. You can either choose to live a miserable life, or you can take dominion this morning over your life and your surroundings, and you can finish better than you started. You must understand that the only power the devil or the enemy has over you is the power you give him. The only power he has over you is the power you give him. The powers of hell will always try to destroy God's children, his plans, and contradict his word. That's the strategy. The Bible says that he comes, the enemy, to steal, kill, and destroy. That hasn't changed. First he robs you, then he kills you or your dreams, your spiritual life, your relationships, your finances. Then that's not enough. He's not going to celebrate till you are in complete dismay, till you've been completely destroyed. But Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You signed up for a fight, but you are a guaranteed winner if you don't quit. Guaranteed winner. Jesus said at Caesarea Philippi to Peter, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus knew those of us that lived on planet Earth were in a war, a temporary war. He knew what he would do and what he would fulfill would give us the victory and the tools to live this life the way he intended for us to live. So we are in a war. Everybody say, we're in a war. Number two, and we'll get into this more next week when we preach on the rapture, but we win. We win. We are not fighting for a win. We are fighting from a win. You know, everybody has that one friend who is not a fighter and waits till the fight's over to kind of creep over there at the last second and just get something in, you know? My friend Dickie's here. He was that guy. He waited till we whooped him real good, and he'd get that last one in. But let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, we get to do that to the enemy all the time because we've already won. It's not a sucker punch. He's already defeated. You just have to walk in the victory that God has for you. We make the devil a bigger deal than what he is. His realm is small compared to God's realm. His strategy is simple to figure out. His outcome is fixed. It says in 1 John, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." That means we must overcome the world and its temptations and its lust and all these struggles that try to bring us down. We have to overcome that. How do we do that? The hero within, the Holy Ghost. Help us walk in victory. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You can't see it, but you believe it anyways. You don't know how you're going to finish, but you keep walking towards the finish line anyways. You don't let a curse keep you from your destiny. You don't let an individual keep you from your destiny. You don't let a lie keep you from your destiny. You don't let an accusation keep you from your destiny. You just keep moving, my friend. There's something powerful about progression and perseverance. It's hard to hit a moving target. Just keep moving. See, most Christians, we want to dwell on something and go back and we want to stir it around after we've stepped in it and all of these kinds of things, but just keep moving. The kingdom is ahead of you. Your destiny is in front of you. You cannot get caught up and waste too much time on nonsensical matters. The enemy wants to distract you and defeat you with nonsense. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You say, Pastor Ronnie, what if I lose a loved one, or what if they die, or what if death comes to my house like it does all of our houses? The Bible says, oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? I understand mourning, and I understand loss, and I understand hurt, but a true Christian doesn't stay there, because we know that death has no sting. I believe in heaven with all of my heart. I believe in eternity with all of my heart. I stand up here today because I know that I'm going to see my lost loved ones again. I know that the church is going to have the victory. And we're going to reign with Jesus Christ. And he's made a dwelling place for us. A mansion for us. And we're going to be a part of that final trumpet. And that exclamation point that God has promised us. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin, listen to this, is the law. What keeps you in bondage is the realization that you can't measure up. That's what keeps us defeated. Oh, well, I messed up once, forget it. Stay in the fight. The enemy comes to bring guilt to your life. The accuser comes to accuse you. Oh, you might as well give up. You might as well just go back on drugs. You slipped up. You relapsed. Go ahead and give up. Go ahead and quit. No, that's what the enemy wants you to do. But if you'll just stay in the fight, you win. You win. We win. We win. I believe with all of my heart that God is raising up a generation that understands who they are in Christ and that will walk in the victory. You know, I spent some time last night at a middle school football game. My middle one is in eighth grade, and he's doing real well and playing linebacker and playing center. I'm so proud of him. But there are three boys on his middle school team that I had the privilege to coach from the time they were 6 years old and all the way to they were 10. My oldest is 18. My oldest son, his teams were amazing. We won all the time. I had so much talent, it wasn't even fair. I thought I was a good coach. I realize now I just had great players. They were so good. I mean, 11 of them are starting and featured players on their high school teams from North Georgia all the way here, the kids that I coached with Trey. Reed's team was a little different. I didn't have the huge players. I didn't have the biggest team. I didn't have the team that was stacked, and I really had to actually coach his team. And we got better every year, and I love those kids just as much as I did the kids that won everything. We had an incredible time. We got better every year. But there was one game we were playing Lakeside, and they're in Inner City Park, and my friend Elmer Leek runs that park, and they were number one. They were undefeated. I think we'd lost a game or two, and it was probably the best game we'd ever played. We played tremendous. We did everything. And it went into overtime. We didn't even deserve to be in the game, but we somehow forced it to overtime. And they had scored, and they missed their extra point. They made their extra point. They were up by 7. We scored, and I asked my players, do you want to go for the win, or do you want to go for the tie? Because I wasn't having that on me. And they said, Coach Ronnie, we can't beat them unless we beat them right now. And I wish I could tell you that it worked out. I had a good play drawn up.
We almost executed it. Young man dropped the ball in the end zone. We lost by one. One of the best games we've ever played. But I told that team, I said, I admire you because you went for the win. You went for it. A tie wasn't good enough. You went for the victory. And I said, you're going to learn. There's going to be times where you go for it and you end up on the other side of this, where you go for it and you become victorious. And it's times like these, times of defeat, that prepare you for times of victory. And I said, one day when you get older, you're going to remember this. Well, last night, this little middle school team, we're winning by four. We haven't stopped this team all night. It's back and forth. And we got a couple penalties, and it was like third and 40, and there was like 2 minutes left in the game. So we're going to have to punt if we don't somehow get 40 yards on third down. And they're going to have a chance to score and beat us. And I thought, oh, Lord, here it goes again. We're about to choke this thing away. And young man in this church, Tyler Moore, who actually, when he was little, he's the one that missed the pass that lost us that game. And they threw a pass over the middle to him. He caught it, run over two tacklers, made the first down, ran over two more, and we scored. And we won. It was amazing. It was one of the best middle school games I've ever seen. And because, you know, I had coached Tyler for so long, I remember all the times we didn't win. But look at him win now. And I'm telling you, there's times in this Christian life, friend, where it doesn't work out the way you want it to. But those times develop character inside of you. It builds your spirit. And when the time comes, the fullness of times, the gospel says in Galatians, when it's your time, you'll know what to do when it's on the line. Don't allow one small defeat to force you to live defeated for the rest of your life. You've got to understand that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So our text talks about the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds in our lives. What is a stronghold? It is a house or a fortress of wrong thinking. A stronghold harbors demonic activity. It's when you allow something to come in your mind or your ear or something that happens to you, maybe when you're a child, you allow the enemy to come in and the enemy takes a stronghold of you. And for the rest of your life, the enemy's got you. He's the puppet master, and he controls you. If something sounds like that bad thing that happened to you, you exhibit attitudes and emotions that you went through when you were a child. If something sounds similar to that ex or that person that abused you, or you've believed a lie, oh, your family was addicts, you're going to be an addict. Your family wasn't smart. Your family didn't go to college, so you can't go to college. You believe a lie long enough, and the enemy takes a strong hold of you through that lie. It can happen through a wrong choice, wrong deed, wrong words, a curse that's been spoken over to you, family stuff. Doesn't matter. Satan is allowed to enter into us and take control of us through a thought, an action, a deed, or a circumstance. So you say, Pastor Ronnie, I don't know that I have a stronghold. Well, let me ask you some questions that will help you determine whether or not you have a stronghold in your life. Not all of these questions will prove that you have one. But together, I believe God will give you revelation through these questions. The first one: are you sick all the time? Are you sick all the time? In Luke chapter 13, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. This woman was faithful to the synagogue, faithful to the church, had a great heritage, but demons kept her down. I understand illness. I understand there's many things that we can't control. We all struggle. But some of you, because of your mind, you stay in sickness. That's a spirit of infirmity. It's something all the time, and you need to take dominion over your life. And just like a bully that gets tired of being picked on, at some point you have to say, devil, I'm tired of this cancer. Devil, I'm tired of this diabetes. Devil, I'm tired of this. I want to live in victory on this earth or in glory with you, but I'm tired of this. I'm taking the fight to you. And at some point you have to have enough faith to take it to the enemy.
Are you sick all the time? Mental illness. I had the privilege of working at an insurance company for 7 years, and I reviewed medical records. And one thing I learned about medical history is that most of the stuff we deal with is directly connected to our mind. Wherever you have a diagnosis, you also have a mental illness attached to most of it. What does that tell me? That the enemy still wants to come in through the mind. And he wants to tell you not just that you're sick, but that you're going to stay sick. Not just that you lost, but you're going to stay defeated. Not just that you had a bad day, but you're a bad person. The enemy wants to convince you in your mind that it's never going to be better. Quickly, number two, another question to help you. Do you struggle with anxiety? Are you nervous in a crowd? Are you critical of other people? People that continually criticize others are dealing with a spirit of insecurity and inferiority. Insecurity and inferiority. This creates tension and it causes the individual to be uncomfortable around other people. It's a spirit of fear that leads to torment. A spirit of fear. I'm afraid what they'll say about me. I'm afraid how they look at me. I'm afraid what people might think of me. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. That's demonic. And the enemy wants you to live like that all the time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Next, have you allowed the demonic influences to creep into your mind? In Acts chapter 16, the slave girl was possessed with a spirit of divination. We also call that a spirit of Python. It's when you traffic with the enemy, fortune telling, rebellion, all of those things. When you rebel, you won't submit to anybody. You won't allow anyone to tell you what to do. And you're a know-it-all. And then you allow the spirit of Python to come and constrict you and choke the life out of you. It's also what I call, and we learned this from an African-American pastor that we're friends with from New York City who's a spiritual warfare guy, that it's a diva spirit. We talk about a diva. A diva has to be the center of attention. Won't listen to anybody. Self-made. Rebellious. Knows everything. It's a diva spirit. Spirit of divination. Are you sexually immoral? This spirit in Hosea is called a spirit of harlotry, also a spirit of perversion, lust, adultery, pornography, rape, incest, pride, and an addiction to unbiblical sex. Oh, I can't believe you're talking about that. Where are we supposed to talk about it? Sin is still sin, and if you continue in it, it will wreck your life, your spirit, your mind, your soul. It's a plague on our country and on our students. Next, are you spiritually unstable? An unstable person is insecure, narcissistic, jealous. All these are spiritual sins. You can read them in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians. All of these are biblical principles. Insecure, narcissistic, jealous, addicted, codependent, OCD, all of these things have the potential to cause you to live an unstable life. These are all results of not knowing who you are in Christ. The Bible says in Romans, Paul would say, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage. How many of you are tired of bondage? You didn't receive the spirit of Python, the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of divination. You didn't receive those spirits. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage when you got saved. Yes, you entered into a war, but you were given the weapons to win the war. Again, to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption, crying out, Abba, Father. I don't care what your home life was like. You have a father that loves you. You have a future that's guaranteed by Jesus Christ. You are forgiven of your sins, and you can walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit if you choose to. You do not have to live the way you're living any longer. You don't have to feel the way you feel any longer. You need to put on the whole armor of God and allow the spirit of a winner, of a hero, to come inside you. And you must realize that you can overcome. You can overcome. An unstable person also walks in pride, and that's how Satan fell. If you go to Ezekiel and you read the fall of Satan, it was a spirit of pride that caused him to fall. And that spirit is still on this earth. Spirit of pride. Pride goes before a fall, Proverbs 16 says. Goes before a fall. How do we defeat this enemy? You say, Pastor Ronnie, is everybody that's sick got a demon? No. I'm asking you questions to provoke you to do some research on your own soul. How do we defeat the enemy? Revelation 12 says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus Christ defeated the enemy, and we can pull down these strongholds, and we can walk in victory if we choose to. We are in a war. It's a war that we win, but we must learn how to use our weapons. Our weapons. Why do we talk about the whole armor of God? Is that some teaching for vacation Bible school or children? No, it's for adults. It actually makes more sense for adults if you study it. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it. You got to have them all if you're going to walk in victory. You can't just have one area figured out. You've got to put the whole armor on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So that person you're mad at, don't be mad at them. There's a devil. Those people you are against, don't be mad at them. There's an enemy. There's a territorial spirit. You got to understand that hating flesh isn't the answer. Putting on the army is the answer. Most people don't even know they're demonically influenced. So we must take up the whole armor of God, that we'll be able to stand. Isn't that what I said to do? If you'll stand. You say, I can't run. Stand. Whatever you do, just don't quit. You may have to take a break and just stand. Don't allow the enemy to keep you down. It says, gird your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Clothe yourself in the image of God. Understand that you're a son. Understand that you're more than a conqueror. Understand that it's not your perfection. It's God's promise. Understand that it's His righteousness, not yours. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And I love this. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, a lot of times we just say you need to be saved. No, some of you have a saved soul, but you need a saved mind. It's one thing for God to save your soul. It's another thing for Him to fix your mind. You've believed a lie too long. You've listened to the enemy too long. You've allowed things to come into your mind. And when you put on that helmet of salvation, my God, then you start walking in a new anointing. You start thinking like a saved person. A saved person doesn't think this is going to kill me. A saved person thinks this is going to make me stronger. A saved person doesn't think I'm always going to be addicted. A saved person thinks I'm going to beat this addiction. A saved person doesn't think, oh, I'm sick and dying. A saved person thinks I'm holding on to God's healing for my life on this earth or on the other side. Either way, I'm holding on. Helmet of salvation. You have a saved mind. Some of you have got your ticket into heaven, but you got stinking thinking going on. You open the door to the enemy when you say negative things about yourself, when you think negative thoughts about yourself, he jumps on those things. And that's how strongholds come in. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then listen to this. Praying always. We need to pray more. Supplication. It's not enough just to ask. You have to expect God to move. Supply and demand. My God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. That's what supplication is. It's not just some hope. It's I'm praying and I expect you to heal me. I expect you to save me. I expect you to move me. I expect you to bless me. Supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this and with all perseverance. Everybody say, don't quit. Jude says, building yourselves up in the most holy of faith, praying in the Spirit. You know, I come from a time where, you know, I still like a little showboat. I mean, when you win something, I come from Dion, man. I want you to dance. I mean, do a flip, point at somebody. All the officials that watched me coach at Scenic City League, now they're reffing my oldest in high school. They said, Ronnie, Trey's still a good boy, but he sure does talk a lot. I'm about to throw a flag on him. He just talks too much. But I say, you know, the Bible says that we can kind of build ourselves up in the most holy of faith. Instead of agreeing with the enemy, why don't we start telling ourselves, our spirit man, who we are and what we can be and where we're going and what the Bible says about us. Why don't we start building ourselves up? And nobody, don't expect anybody else to do it in this culture. Build yourself up. Believe in yourself. Speak good things to yourself. And believe that God has a greater plan for your life than to live in misery. It's a choice, man. It's a choice. You have to choose victory. And in mentioning these different weapons, you have to learn what each of them does. Truth defeats the enemy. The enemy can't stand truth. So your weapon must have truth attached to it. You must understand the truth of God's word will set you free. That's why you need to be in God's word. That's why you need to have a group that studies God's word. That's why you ought to be doing devotions. God's truth pushes the enemy back. His righteousness, the breastplate, gives you invincibility. When you are clothed in God's righteousness, the enemy can't defeat you. Now, if you're walking in your own flesh, you're about to get bruised up and beat up. But when you have that breastplate of righteousness on, you're invincible. The enemy can try everything, but he can't defeat you. The gospel repels the enemy. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When you share your faith, it's not that you're perfect. It's that you have enough faith to believe God can use little old you, little old me. God can use you. Faith counters his attacks, the shield of faith. Enemy tries to shoot a diagnosis your way. My faith says I'm not going to succumb to that. Try to curse you. My shield says I don't have to live in that. The shield of faith, believing what you can't see. The helmet of salvation is again a saved mind. You cannot penetrate a saved mind. A saved mind. Oh, and the Holy Spirit, the hero within, is the intellect and power you need to persevere, to help you carry on, to stay in the fight. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it invokes angels to fight right alongside you. Some of you been in a car wreck, you should have died, but something supernatural happened. You don't even know why you're still alive. Some of you should have been dead. You've had a near-death experience, but somehow you're still here. Let me tell you, you have a spiritual walk with God, and you pray in the Spirit, and you call on heaven, angels come to fight your battles. And there are things that I can't begin to explain that will take place that will protect your family for years to come. So, as it says in Jude, we're to build ourselves up in the most holy of faith. What are some things you can say about yourself? I'm valuable. I was created by Almighty God. I'm loved. I'm adopted. I'm chosen. I'm more than a conqueror. I was created in the image of God. Not only was I created by Him because of Jesus, I'm a new creation. I've been recreated by Almighty God. That's you, friend. You're a new creation. What else can you say? That you're special, man. You're not just another number. You're special. God only created one you. Study DNA. There are volumes and volumes about you. Somebody says, that's narcissistic. No, that's just being proud of a big God. You are special. You're a winner. Oh, and you were built for this. At some point in your life, and listen to me, I'm about to land this plane. But at some point in your life, after all the warfare and all the praying and all the religious stuff, there comes a moment for every person where you get tired of it and you say, I'm built for this. I'm built for this. And when you do that, by faith, armed with the Spirit of God, demons flee. Because they see that greater is
he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they realize you are walking in your God-given identity and you're connected with something much greater than they ever thought about. And they have to flee. And victory is yours. Victory is yours. So I challenge you, identify your strongholds, pull them down, receive the victory that God has for you. Don't allow circumstances, people, habits, addictions to keep you from walking in the fullness that God has for you. I want to lead you through some deliverance. And for those of you who need a deep deliverance, we're going to return to this in October. We're going to have a whole weekend around it. It's going to be done in a private way. But I want to start you on the path to victory this morning. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. Again, just as I did last week, I really don't want you praying for other people. I really want you focused on you. Because some of you have a demonic spirit, and it's pride, or it's a religious spirit, and you can't even see the error in your own ways. And you need to be delivered as much as anyone else. How do we pull down these strongholds? Well, the first thing, you have to accept Christ, his free gift of love and grace. You have to be saved. But next, you have to be submitted to God. Some of you won't submit to anybody. You have to bow, pick up your cross, and follow after him. You have to be submitted. You have to recognize that you have an issue. Many of you already know what your stronghold is. You already know what your struggle is. God has already shown you in your spirit what the struggle is, what you have going on the inside of you. Confess your sins related to this stronghold. So whatever sins this stronghold's caused you to commit, go ahead right now in a private setting and ask God to forgive you. If you need to be saved, it's the same thing. Say, Lord, I accept your free gift of grace. I love you, Jesus. Come into my heart and save me. But many of you are saved, but you have sin in your life, and it's directly connected to the stronghold. You need to confess the sins that are connected to the stronghold. If you'll do that, you'll start to receive the victory. Now, I want you to praise God and worship him in a new way. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Ronnie? Well, you know, when Saul was trying to kill David, he hid in a cave and he cried out to God and it turned back the enemy. Sometimes when you cry out and you praise God in the midst of a storm, it turns back the enemy. So if you've received the victory, if you've received the grace, then you need to worship in just a moment like you've never worshiped. And you need to give God the victory. And you can't care who listens or who judges or any of that stuff. None of that's relevant anymore because you have the victory. Now I want you to visualize yourself free and fully alive. When I pray for people at the altar, many times doing warfare, and I don't do it as much as I used to. I do it more on the road. But when I pray for people, I always ask God to give them a vision of what their life could be like without the addiction, without the stronghold. So I'm going to ask God right now, sovereignly and spiritually, to give you a vision of what your life would be like without this addiction, this stronghold, this thing that's controlling you on the inside of your life. What would your life look like without it? Lord, give them a vision. Give them a vision. Now, where I get involved, we're going to rebuke the enemy. Stand on your feet. Hold your hands up in a posture to receive something from God. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for your gift of grace, your mercy, your love. Lord, we're thankful that we've already won the victory because of what you did at the cross, that we don't have to live beneath our privilege any longer, that we have been made free and fully alive, that you've promised us an abundance, you've promised us freedom, you've promised us the victory. Now, Lord, there are many people in this room who aren't living in victory. So, Lord, I ask you right now to come like a mighty rushing wind. Send your Holy Spirit to cleanse them of all unrighteousness, Lord, to fill them supernaturally with your precious Holy Spirit. Fill them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Fill them up supernaturally with you. Fill them up. As you're filling them up, Holy Spirit, give them the vision of freedom. Give them the ability to build themselves up in the most holy of faith. Lord, give them strength for this race. Give them strength for the fight. Give them strength for the field. Let them not live beneath their privilege any longer. Now, enemy, Satan, devil, we rebuke you. You are a liar. You are a murderer. You are a thief. And you have no legal standing in this atmosphere or in God's people. You've already been defeated at Calvary. And by the blood of Jesus, I command you to leave the minds, the will, and the emotions of my people. Satan, you have been defeated, and you must leave right now by the blood of Jesus. Now come into agreement with what you just heard me pray. Pray it over your own life. Command him to leave. Command him to leave. Command him to leave. Now, Holy Spirit, fill them up afresh with a fresh fire, fresh water. Spirit, do your thing. Do your thing. Do your thing. How many of you feel some victory in this room? How many of you feel some victory in this room? How many of you feel some victory in this room? Why don't you shout a David shout from the cave this morning? Let the enemy know who wins. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Somebody say, I'm built for this. You're built for it. You're built for it. You got it. You're a winner. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our staff to come down. Listen, if you need deeper deliverance, you contact Pastor Angie. We're going to spend a whole weekend on this in October. I'd sign up if I was you. It's going to be intense with my mentor, Dr. Bobby Atkins. You'll love it. Father God, come now. If you need salvation, if you need to join this church and be on a team that's committed to winning and finishing, you need to join this church today. If you need healing, maybe you're delivered from strongholds, but you need some agreement. You need somebody to touch you and grab your hand and believe with you for your healing. This staff would be honored to pray for you. If you need salvation, you need healing, you need to join this church. Don't miss your moment to be touched by God. Can we just give one more shout of victory? Because I just like the way it sounds. Now I want you to praise him like it's already been done. You come and receive today from this staff.